Right, Cabinet today. Bill ready for introduction is a legal services amendment. This deals with the issue of victims of crime who receive legal aid for coroner's court or parole board type hearings and not being required to repay. You'll recall that issue arose over the proceedings around the tragedy following the Graham Burton release. So Mrs. King has her bill ready for introduction to deal with that matter. We've agreed to extend two of the small offshore deployments of the Defence Force. One is to the very long-running UN Truce Supervision Organisation, which operates across Syria, Lebanon, Israel. And we have 8 personnel there, and that's been rolled over for another 2 years. And also in East Timor, we've had 2 military liaison officers working with the East Timor Army, and we're adding to that another 3 technical advisors under the Defence Cooperation Programme. We've agreed that we'll work with other Western countries, the EU, US, Japan, Canada, Switzerland, on work that's being done on what's called a plurilateral anti-counterfeiting trade agreement, and the aim would be to give stronger protection to intellectual property rights. There's also been a Ministry of Research, Science and Technology plan go through Cabinet with our approval, which is a strategy around building the research capability of New Zealand. And we've agreed to detailed policy for amendments to the Domestic Violence Act 1995. That's been the subject of a public consultation in recent months, and a bill is to be drafted on that in Anna King's name. We've also made decisions arising out of the review of the World Child Health Framework, and those decisions will be publicly released by Steve Chadwick. Coming up in the House this week, it's the budget debate with 12 hours and 11 minutes remaining. And all going well, there may be a very small amount of time for legislation on Thursday at the end of play. And then the House adjourns until the 17th of June. Otherwise, coming up this week, I'll be making an announcement with Judith Tizard tomorrow around redevelopment of the National Library. Wednesday in Parliament there will be a ministerial statement on the Crown apology to the Vietnam veterans. This has arisen out of the comprehensive settlement negotiated between the government and veterans organisations, and it precedes the major Tribute 08 weekend running in Wellington through from the Civic Welcome for Veterans on Friday afternoon and through to Queen's Birthday itself. Otherwise, coming up this week, Marion Street has reports to release on this issue of is there not a relationship between house prices and immigration levels. There are reports from one research organisation and a Department of Labour report. And the Cabinet will meet again on Tuesday after the long weekend. Any questions?
Do you expect the police to reopen their case of fire to the Kahui tragedy, or what's your position?
Well, I had the opportunity to speak briefly with the Commissioner yesterday when we were both at Bastion Point, and he indicated to me then exactly what has been indicated publicly today, which was that the police would do an extensive debrief of their file. They would do that with officers from outside those who've been involved with this. That is their standard practice. They are as desirous as the public is to see someone brought to justice. Obviously, the charges were not proven in the court, and the jury dismissed the case last week. So the police will debrief to see whether there are any other angles they should be pursuing. You see, under New Zealand law of double jeopardy, Mr. Kahui cannot be tried again. So it would be a question of whether evidence which comes to light points in the direction of any other person. It should be noted, by the way, that the government has had legislation in front of Parliament to slightly modify the double jeopardy rule for some time. It's in the Criminal Procedure Bill, which has been having trouble getting a majority, but the Criminal Procedure Bill, which began its Committee of the Whole stage in Parliament more than a year ago, does provide for the waiving of double jeopardy where there is what is called a tainted acquittal. Therefore, if an administration of justice offence, for example, conspiring to defeat justice, corrupting juries and witnesses, was a significant contributing factor in a person's acquittal, then there could be a retrial ordered by the High Court. And there's also a second proposal, which is that where there was new and compelling evidence which could not have been adduced in the first proceedings, which implicates the acquitted person with a high degree of probability, then the Solicitor General would be able to approve a new police investigation into the new evidence, and the Court of Appeal would have to be satisfied that the evidence was in fact new and compelling. Now, as I say, this bill has been before Parliament, but it has been having difficulty getting a majority across its provisions. It would not, of course, apply to anyone who had been acquitted prior to the passage of an act based on the bill.
What do you say to the Carter family, though? You know, sitting on information and no prejudice.
I don't think anyone of good conscience could sit on information which hides the offender. Someone badly attacked those little babies, which led directly to their death. And that person should come forward, and those who know who it is should come forward.
Do you think there should be an inquiry or a look at the way the police actually handled the case and the Crown prosecutors, whether they prosecuted appropriately?
I'm very reluctant to criticise the police over this. I think it's one of the most difficult kinds of investigations they could ever have. There was a wall of silence put up by the family and those around them. That's very difficult to penetrate. Eventually, they thought they had enough evidence, clearly, to mount a case against one person, but the jury didn't accept the case.
There's also a suggestion that the police weren't as forthcoming with some of the information to the defence team as they should have been. And Barry Hart once calling for an inquiry, that's something worth you rule out.
Well, I haven't seen enough evidence that would persuade me that was necessary right now. I think in the aftermath of a trial like this, with the argy-bargy that goes on, the defence, in a way, is almost bound to say such things, but that's a long way away from convincing the government that there should be an inquiry.
But Mr. Broad, is he indicating that they're re-looking at the case, suggests that they're looking to see if perhaps they should have charged somebody else?
I think it's a matter... No, what their standard procedure is after something like this is to stand back and let fresh sets of eyes in the police have another look at it to see whether there are other angles which are worth pursuing. That's the standard practice of debrief.
Given that this is a very high-profile case, I mean, is it appropriate for you to be discussing it?
Well, it's perfectly appropriate to know what the standard practice is, and that's what he advised me of.
Comment about Scott Dixon's work.
I think it's absolutely phenomenal. It puts him up there in the ranks of Michael Campbell winning the US Open, Peter Snell and Murray Halberg, Bob Charles in golf again. I think it's absolutely a fantastic achievement. I fully congratulate Scott Dixon. When I was in one TV newsroom this morning, I could see the race going on. There seemed to be cars with wheels spinning off and great drama around that racetrack. And to think that a Kiwi came through what must be one of the most incredible endurance motor racing contests at the top, I think it's just phenomenal. I think it's a great day for New Zealand.
Did the Cabinet today discuss
No, we haven't had a discussion about that at the Cabinet, but there has been some discussion in recent times about having a look at the group of people on benefits who tend to be there for the longer term, like invalids beneficiaries, who don't have children and who aren't in a position to do any part-time work, and whether there's a need to target some special benefit assistance towards them. So that work is being done between Treasury and the Ministry of Social Development, I understand.
Is there any attempt to raise the amount that beneficiaries could earn before their benefits are abated? Because that's why they should be raised.
Well, those are all issues that can be looked at. Of course, all of them have a price tag, and so you'd need to work out what was the best way forward.
You don't obviously intend to review the core benefit?
That hasn't been discussed, no.
Can you tell us a bit more about the legal aid repayment or not having to repay bills?
It's basically as Mrs. King announced after the matter was drawn to her attention a few months ago, that the family concerned in the case involving the aftermath of Mr. Burton's escape, the family who lost a family member, murdered, were asked to pay the money back, and that seemed outrageous. She said she'd deal with it, and she is.
Does it set any limits on how much people are allowed? So there's no payback at all for someone who's legal
aid? You'd have to go to her office for the details, but she said she'd fix it, and she has.
When would you expect that to be?
Well, I think the bill will go to the caucus pro forma tomorrow because everyone's aware of the policy and has agreed to it, so should be in a position to be introduced into Parliament pretty quickly.
Was Cabinet to the best in the dark this morning at all, Mr. Carter?
Fortunately, we were still in my office, which has a lot of light. It would have been rather irritating to have been sitting in the Cabinet room, which has no natural light at all, and as others will have observed, the standby generator system did not work, and I am asking a lot of questions about why that wasn't the case. I understand in Bowen House the stairways were in total darkness, and that's not satisfactory.
What about the, does that mean that the standby generator wouldn't have been used to say and the
well, one assumes so. I'm told that in the beehive there is a standby generator which, brackets, when it's working, is able to supply sufficient power to immediately restore all electrical services, split infinitive. Although this began properly when the main supply stopped, and indeed some of you might have seen the lights flicker and then quickly go off, there was a failure in the load shedding system, which is supposed to transfer the building load across to the generator. Because this part did not do its task, the entire standby system failed to function properly and all power was lost after a few seconds. So, really, it's not that amusing. The whole point of having a standby generator is for it to work when a substation goes out, and in this case it was a transformer in the Wilton substation. So, questions are being asked.
Because it is quite a concern, isn't it?
I mean, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, had we all been sitting in the Cabinet room in pitch darkness, it would have been rather less than amusing.
When you say questions being asked, you personally yourself said you
didn't
find out what went on?
Yes. Now, I've had my Chief Private Secretary on to trying to find out what went wrong, and I'm told that the failings are being examined by technical specialists at the moment, and that both standby systems previously have functioned properly in similar circumstances, but they certainly didn't function properly today.
Does that also fuel the or power the Civil Defence Headquarters?
Well, it is a standby generator which powers the beehive. So I have to assume it powers the beehive and there's not another one somewhere else. I haven't asked that specific question. I was more concerned about no lights in the Cabinet room.
Well, I mean, the Civil Defence Headquarters is far more serious.
Well, absolutely. It's ridiculous. So
does that mean that there'd been some natural disaster in Wellington which had caused the power to go out long-term rather than a simple transformer, there would have been no power in the Civil Defence bunker?
Well, that entirely depends on whether the system was in a better state than it was today, doesn't it? It wasn't in a good state today.
Have you caught up with
I haven't had a chance to read it. I was aware that it was coming through the system, and I think looking at rationalising forms of inquiry, if you like, into two, public inquiries and government inquiries. So beyond that, I couldn't say I'm well informed about it. I understand that its recommendations would, for example, drop a Royal Commission of Inquiry, and I'm not sure that's appropriate. I think a Royal Commission of Inquiry has a very high status in our system, and I'd need to have considerable persuasion that that should be put aside at this time.